This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. Very glad to be here. Invited to talk about early intervention and what do we know so far of government thinking. Some of you could be forgiven for thinking, why are we talking about early intervention when we're talking about early years? Because surely he doesn't think that they're simply the same thing, does he? No, he doesn't, nor should you. But early intervention has become one of the buzzwords. It's one of the buzzwords around government, and it's also one of the buzzwords around our sector, which means we've got to be using it. I strongly believe in using it and have been using it strongly for a long time. And we collectively, as a sector engaged in early years, need to make sure that we're using the terminology right, understand where we sit within the world of early intervention. So what I wanted to do was kind of threefold. Inevitably, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the early intervention grant. I'm going to assume you know a fair amount about it, but I want to pick out some of the headlines. Then I want to do a quick tour of the territory of what else is coming up, being published or about to be published, what's around the concepts of early intervention. And from that, I want to think, what's coming next? What are the lessons for us in our sector? It seems to me, overall, it's been a frustrating journey, this one. The issues of early intervention, the arguments as to why we as a society and as a sector should be supporting early intervention and funding services before things go wrong rather than waiting for things to go wrong and then squealing and throwing resources about at it. We've been in that territory for years. We've been writing about it for years. We've had evidence of it about it for years. And somehow or other, we as a society and as a sector have never quite managed to pick up those lessons and translate them into an actual change in the way services have been delivered. I think, actually, that over the last 12, 15 years, a lot of the arguments for increasing the investment in early years in the way that we've done were based on the arguments that say, if you invest early, if you intervene early, then you will produce savings later on. But we've always, I think, run a risk. If we only describe our intervention work with early years as in order to make things easier later, in order to prepare children for school, to make them school ready, in order to make them less likely to end up in prison aged 20, all of that's correct. But if we only describe our work and our services as an earlier intervention to make life easier later, then I think we're doing down the early years sector. However, where we are now is that essentially pretty well all the funding that will be available to be supporting the delivery of early years services in the years ahead is categorised under a grant called the Early Intervention Grant. And again, it's one of those ironies. During that process in the run-up in the autumn, in the run-up to Christmas, where there was all the big debates before the spending review as to how much government funding might be coming into our sector and why, some of us were very much involved in trying to put the case to Treasury about the importance of early intervention. I have to say, I thought when the early news came out that there was going to be a very large early intervention grant available, I thought it was maybe the largest single success in NCB's history, since we'd worked extremely hard to put over the evidence of it and worked hard to set out the case as to why money should be carved out of the continuation of existing services to make sure we invested in some of those things that we weren't doing at the moment. To then discover that the funding available for the early intervention grant was an amalgam of all the funding that was previously funding all of the early years services, plus services for disabled children around short breaks, plus the teenage pregnancy programme, plus the youth crime action plan, plus services for CAMHS, plus mainstream youth services, plus targeted youth services, plus quite a few others. It was a bit of a kick in the ghoulies, to be frank. But here we are. That's where we are with the early intervention grant, and we do need to understand what we got, because, as I say, that's what's going to be funding early years provision in the coming period. And it's £2.2 billion allocated for the coming financial year, which sounds an awful lot of money. It's getting to be a decent weekly wage, isn't it? And it would be even more if it wasn't an amalgam of grants that at the beginning of the current year had equaled £2.8 billion. In other words, a reduction from the starting point of 22%. important for us to remember at the point when we are individually and locally arguing for retention of all the funding at the current levels for Sure Start and early years, because surely the government's been saying that's what we should do. Bear in mind, this is coming from a grant pot which is 22% less than the original grant funds in April 2010, once they're all pooled together. And it's an amalgam of many grants, not all of which, as I say, are early. I mean, every now and again, I find it quite difficult to justify the use of the term early intervention, for example, to support initiatives to reduce reoffending of young people coming out of young offender institutions. Now, that's really important work, really important, and can be extremely cost-effective. And an intervention at that point, when a young person comes out of a young offender institution, if you do it right, you will save a lot of money, and you'll save a lot of money within year, because it'll be less likely the young person goes back. But I struggle to find any way of describing that as an early intervention. So I suppose my lesson one for this stage in our history is we need to get a lot clearer in defining our terms. We don't want to just become anoraks in the way we do it, but we need to become clearer. What is it that our early years services do that is A, supporting children's development and supporting family development, and is B, providing an early intervention that therefore will produce benefits and investments and outcomes? It's both those things, not simply only one of them, that should be the cause of the justification for our work. Back into early intervention grant. There's money, not as much, but quite a lot. It's an amalgam of other grants, and it's not ring-fenced. Therefore, all those different areas are all now up for grabs in the same pot. Locally decided, therefore it is the local councils who over the coming periods will be deciding, some of them already have, what proportion of the money that they've got will be allocated to be supporting Sure Start programmes. What proportion will be within that will be allocated for different areas. How many children's centres will continue to be funded, etc. You'll have seen some of the press coverage. I bet it came up this morning, some early indications. We're likely to see a reduction from the 3,500 children's centres we currently have. The survey this morning was suggesting that there might be 250 reductions. Not sure of the strength of that data, but actually I suspect it's not far off. I think there may be more reductions than that myself on the evidence that we're seeing, particularly in the later phases of children's centres. We're seeing within the government's statements around the early intervention grant a stronger focus on what works. Explicitly, the Secretary of State in his letter said he's expecting local authorities, as they decide how to allocate that money, to use evidence of what works, evidence of cost effectiveness. He said, such as that of Centre for Excellence and Outcomes, which has summarised the available evidence around what works within children's services, makes it available to directors of children's services and others. I'll say a bit more about that later on. But as a result, the impact in particular, I think, of the introduction of the early intervention grant, the way it's been done and the speed with which local authorities are having to readjust their budgets to fit into the timescale is, as I've said, I think that we've lost clarity on what early intervention means and how we can best use it. And of course, at every local level, we're facing tough choices, which is a terminology for deep cuts. That's a technical term. Okay, that's the financial situation. What do we know that's new, or not so new? A few reports coming out. Interesting always to note. We should always welcome new reports. We should always welcome new reports that are drawn from evidence. If they say the same things that some of us have been saying for a generation, we should sit on our hands. We shouldn't make that cheap point on a public platform. We should welcome that other people... it just wouldn't be worthy of us, would it? We should instead welcome that people have identified evidence that has further supported and affirmed the principles and the conclusions that we had previously been setting out for 30 years. Not as a direct consequence of that, but Frank Fields produced a report just recently, Foundation Years. And genuinely, some seriously good and seriously valuable conclusions coming out of that. The importance of it is not so much that it's come out in a report. It's come out in a report under this government. It's come out in a report which, to a certain degree, is being endorsed by the current government, and that is the significance of it. So when it focuses in on the importance of seeking to prevent poor children from becoming poor adults and in due course becoming parents of poor children once again, it is an important point to be able to emphasise and underline that sense of intergenerational disadvantage, the rolling through the years that we in our society have seen more evidence of than any other Western developed society. When he says we should be refocusing Sure Start onto its original purposes, I get a little bit more reluctant to go all the way with him. But at the same time, if we have less resources, I do recognise that it was the first phases of the Children's Centre rollout that were most focused on the poorest areas, and the design was most focused on meeting the needs of the poorest families. And if that's all it means, then I think I can go with that. But I think Sure Start has moved beyond its original purposes, has grown from the evidence of what worked in its early years, has improved the quality of its outputs and its outcomes, and therefore we should reject the idea that we have to be reversing the direction of travel. If we have to consolidate, that's one thing, but that's quite different from having reversed the direction of travel. He said that if future money becomes available, it would be more important to invest in early years services than in increasing and uprating child benefit. And for anybody delivering services, that's an important hook to hold on to. Anybody in receipt of child benefit might have a different view on the subject. He put a really strong case, not for the first time, of the importance of providing support to improve the quality of parenting across the piece, but particularly in some of the poorer communities. Managing to hold just back from appearing patronising as to whether poor families are ever able to be good parents. Just kept on the right side of that. He has thankfully provided a really strong focus on the importance of the home learning environment, setting out the arguments that say, if you have to, if you've only got a couple of bob to invest, put most of it in improving the home learning environment. If your aim is to improve educational attainment for children, you get more bangs from your buck in supporting parents to better help their children to learn than by further rebuilding schools or adding an extra teacher or reducing class sizes or whatever. The biggest bang from the buck come from systematic, well-supported interventions to help parents to better support their children to learn. He underlined the importance of high-quality child care, graduate-led. Really important to have that coming through and the government to endorse that principle, because at a time of budget cuts across the piece, there has always been a significant risk that the progress we have achieved, and it is only partial progress, in moving towards graduate-led profession, and in due course, I hope, much more than graduate-led profession, there has always been the risk that we might see significant retreat from that, and I think we might not be facing retreat from it at the moment. And he argued the case for opening up the commissioning of children's centres, suggesting that children's centres, if they are to be at the heart of their communities and supporting children and families, they could do other things as well. They could no longer restrain themselves just to supporting children 0 to 5. They should be looking at providing wider range of support to families, the kind of thing that many of us have been looking to be supporting schools across the piece to do. I think he's arguing that children's centres can be an important base of that. Nothing groundbreaking, nothing fundamental, but the importance is it's been said now. Which is what I'd say also about the next big report, came out a couple of weeks ago, Graham Allen's report on early intervention. Again, let's not overdo the point about that most of the arguments are familiar arguments. They're cross-party arguments here. In this document, the conclusions that Graham Allen set out were conclusions that he secured the endorsement of the Labour Party, the Conservative Party, and the Liberal Democrats, and indeed the leaders of the devolved nations. So however bland the conclusion, they are conclusions that are being endorsed across the political spectrum, and that's the power of it. He's put a case supporting the Frank Field argument that parenting is all. Supporting this good quality parenting is the most important single thing we can do to improve the outcomes for children. He's really driven down on the idea that we should be using evidence to determine what programs do work. I'll come back to it, but he's gone much further than I would have gone on that. The idea that we should use evidence to work out what works is fundamental to the way NCB has always worked. But it's not just evidence of programs, it should be evidence of systems that are most important. And working out the evidence of an individual, standalone, specific programme is important. It's an important component. but until we look beyond that and look at the impact of a whole system on the children and families in our community, we won't have fully got the picture. Let me be particularly controversial here about a programme that I really do like, but the evidence is getting it wrong, which is Nurse Family Partnerships. Brilliant programme, been very successful in America, particularly successful in working with some of the most vulnerable children. Massive cost-benefit gains in the United States because they don't have a health visitor service there, so anything you do with some of those families is better than what you would get otherwise. Most of the financial gains come because children that have gone through that programme in 18 years' time are less likely to go to prison, and you save a fortune. You really do save a fortune if you live in a country where one in four black 18-year-olds from poor backgrounds go to prison. In those circumstances, you save a fortune on those interventions. If you live in a country like England, you still get gains, but nothing like the same. Because America runs its services on the basis of individual programs, and they evaluate individual programs, they miss the opportunities we have. I wonder if you can remember when the first Sure Start program started to roll out a few years ago. And what we got was some concentrated areas of some lovely practice in local areas. We didn't get an increase in the number of health visitors or highly trained, qualified people in those early stages. What we got is a honeycomb effect. We got the best people coming in to work in those individual projects because the caseloads were better, there was high motivation, there was a drive from the top, it was sexy, it was the place to work. A lot of the best people came in and worked there. And do you know what? Those programs worked. And if you looked at those programs, it looked and felt really good. If you then opened up your scope, you saw that donut effect. Really good quality service there, pretty crap in the outer edges. And that's what happens. That's another technical term, 2 minutes. That's what also happens if you invest in one specific program and don't look at population effects. Evidence of programs is important, but until we go on to evidence of system change, then we haven't got it. I'm going to skip over his other recommendations. The final one we will come back to, but not today. The real significance of Graham Allen's work is he might be exploring ways in which we can get money from the city, from the bankers, that will change the investment into our systems. C4EO did it better. I would say that. NCB hosts it and is one of the partners. But we looked across the piece at the systems. And we brought conclusions that would not be that surprising to you. But early intervention works when it's appropriate, when it's applied well, and when it's following timely identification. But if it's just general splash across the piece, probably a waste of money. In other words, if you do it well, do it properly, otherwise don't bother. But evidence beyond the programmes, evidence of how engaging parents across the piece can produce benefits, about how focus on early communication with children in those early years produces better payoffs than almost any other area of intervention. Which brings me already to the final take-home messages from this and the range of other reports and discussions that are coming through on early intervention. Now, above any other time, we have to continue to press for continued investment. We have to be pressing even more than we ever have for proper cost-benefit information, because if we cannot demonstrate that what we're investing in now produces savings within a short period of time, our services will not continue to be funded. We haven't got enough money to fund all those services which we do know are doing good. So the only services that are going to survive in the future are those that have got some evidence to demonstrate their effectiveness. The investment must not just be in branded programmes, however good they are, and there are some very good ones. If they're not integrated into a mainstream model of delivery, they're not going to change our system. It's mainstream services that continue to need quality investment, proper training for the staff. We must not step back from the path of improving the level of skills and qualifications of our workforce. I'm proud of the progress we've made with early years professionals, but it is nowhere near where we need to go. It is a stepping stone, not a solution, and there's much, much more at the higher level of training and at the lower levels of training. And if we ever think that all we need to do is stop on one model, we're making a terrible mistake. But in essence, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we should follow the evidence. And that's a call to us, not just to sit and read the books, but to ourselves contribute to the gathering of evidence of what works so that we, in what we do, will contribute to improving the services, our services, and the services of our colleagues. This is a new area, colleagues, early years. 10 years ago, it was very much just in the remit of voluntary sector, charities, underqualified, undertrained, massively underpaid people. It has been becoming part of the mainstream of public sector. But because we've only been doing this for a few years, we're vulnerable at a time of cuts. We need a few more years. We need to be stable, part of the permanent presence in this country. And that's when we will feel that we have changed the nature of public services in this country. Thank you.